Our gospel for today is from John, the third chapter. Jesus said, "Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Those who believe in him are not condemned, but those who do not believe are condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and people loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For all who do evil hate the light and do not come to the light, so that their deeds may not be exposed. But those who do what is true come to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that their deeds have been done in God." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. Grace to you and peace from God, our Creator, and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Prayers of a 17th century nun. Lord, you know better than I know myself that I am growing older and will someday be old. Keep me from the fatal habit of thinking I must say something on every subject on every occasion. Release me from craving to straighten out everybody's affairs. Make me thoughtful, but not moody, helpful, but not bossy. With my vast store of wisdom, it seems a pity not to use it all, but you know, Lord, that I want a few friends at the end. Keep my mind free from the recital of endless details. Give me wings to get to the point. Seal my lips on my aches and pains. They are increasing, and my love of rehearsing them is becoming sweeter as the time goes by. I dare not ask for grace enough to enjoy the tales of others' pains, but help me to endure them with patience. I dare not ask for improved memory, but for a growing humility and a lessening cockiness. When my memory seems to clash with the memories of others, teach me the glorious lesson that occasionally I may be mistaken. Keep me reasonably sweet. I do not want to be a saint. Some of them are so hard to live with. But a sour old person is one of the crowning works of the devil. Give me the ability to see good things in unexpected places and talents in unexpected people. And give me, O Lord, the grace to tell them so. Amen. This prayer was shared with me and other pastors by Reverend Michael Ryan, who is the pastor at St. John's Episcopal here in Kirkland. And in addition to giving me a good laugh when I really need it, what I appreciate most about this prayer is that it reminds me of all the things I am not in control of, which is helpful for me. As humans, we all feel the need to be in control of some things because it gives us a sense of safety and stability. For instance, I'm grateful that I get to decide what I eat and what I won't eat, where I live, where I work, that I am healthy. But there have been times in my life when the need to be in control was not healthy and led me to being more stressed out than I needed to be. For instance, I always hated doing group projects as a kid in school because I was the kid that got straight A's and wanted everything to be perfect. Maybe some of you can relate to this. And the problem was everyone in my class knew this. So when group projects came up, they would all volunteer to be in my group because they knew I would do the work for them so that it would be perfect and I wouldn't get a bad GPA. This, of course, caused me a lot of unnecessary stress, though, and a missed opportunity to learn how other people worked and thought about certain ideas. But I felt the need to control the situation, and in the end, I always hated group work and had trouble trusting other people to do what needed to be done. This is just one example of many that I could give. We've all struggled with the need and desire to be in control, which some psychiatrists believe is rooted in the fear of the unknown. When we don't know what will happen or why certain things are happening all around us, we find things that we can control because, again, it makes us feel safe and secure, which is a good and healthy thing to a certain extent. It becomes unhealthy and unhelpful when we're so focused on being in control that we end up isolating ourselves from other people and opportunities that can provide us with support and help, as well as broaden our understanding of the world in which we live. Not to mention, it adds a lot of unnecessary stress to our lives. As the 17th century nun said, "With my vast store of wisdom, it seems a pity not to use it all, but you know, O Lord, that I want a few friends at the end." This idea of needing to be in control and the struggle to release control of what we cannot control is what spoke to me in our readings for today. Our Old Testament lesson is one that many of you have probably heard before. The Israelites are wandering in the desert with Moses, and they are complaining about the food, you know, that miracle food that God has been giving them for free every day to make sure that they don't starve. I also find it funny, I don't know if you noticed this, that in their complaint, they first say, "There is no food and water," and then they say, "And we detest this miserable food." So clearly they had something to eat. But don't judge the Israelites too harshly, since they've had to eat the same thing day after day for months or even years at a time. I totally get it. I would probably complain too, especially if they didn't have salt and pepper. Again, the prayers of the 17th century nun come to mind. And then it says, "The Lord sent poisonous serpents among the people, and they bit the people, so many Israelites died." Okay, that seems a little harsh, don't you think? And then the people say they're sorry and ask Moses to plead to God on their behalf. We're starting to see a pattern here. They do this a lot, which Moses does. And then God tells Moses to make a bronze serpent and put it on a pole so that when the people were bitten and look up at it, they would be saved and live. Now, there's a lot of weird things going on in this story. First of all, we believe that God doesn't ever punish people with illness or to teach them a valuable lesson. But it says the Lord sent the serpents. Second, this bronze serpent thing sounds a lot like an idol, which it clearly says in the Ten Commandments not to worship. And actually, if you follow through, it says in 2 Kings 18 that King Hezekiah actually destroyed the image because people started seeing it this way and worshiping it like an idol. And third, in doing this, wouldn't God be setting up God's self for people to believe that God can imbue objects with magical powers that will heal them? That doesn't really fit with the rest of God's story and who God is trying to portray God's self to be so far. So what is going on here? Well, this is where the problem of control comes in. Here we have a group of people who have been slaves their whole lives, who did not have control over much and so clung to the little control they did have as slaves, trying to start over as free people without the structure of what they have learned and understood since they were kids. Whether it was an oppressive structure or not doesn't matter. At least they knew that if they worked, they would be fed and housed. And now these people are wandering in the desert where they don't have control over where their food and water will come from or where and when they'll have to pick up and move to another location, following and trusting a couple of guys, Moses and Aaron, who did not grow up as slaves like them. With all this instability and the loss of control that they had, the people, including those who would tell this story later, are trying to make sense of this new and unstable world that they live in. Those that passed on this story, I think, believed that God sent the serpents as a punishment because that's what their culture and understanding of how other gods, lowercase g, have worked in the past. Now, I believe that this story definitely happened. Otherwise, it wouldn't have shown up in Scripture three times, the third being in our gospel reading for today. But whether or not it was a punishment from God is up for debate. And while to us who are reading this story thousands of years later, it looks like God is setting up an idol for the people, you'll notice that the words idol and worship never appear in this story. And that's because the purpose of the bronze serpent isn't for worshiping, but is a concrete way for the people to release their desire to control the situation they're in and remember that God is with them. As one of my study Bibles points out, in order to look up at the bronze serpent for healing, they have to take their eyes off of the poisonous serpents, the very real problem, literally swarming around them at their feet. Any of you thinking of the Indiana Jones scene, Raiders of the Lost Ark, right? And have to look up at this image of this problem instead. In other words, to solve the problem they were dealing with, they had to relinquish control, step back, and see the problem from a different perspective, which forced them to acknowledge that they can't always be in control of the world or fix their problems on their own. They need help, and that's why God is with them to do that. This idea of relinquishing control, of admitting that we can't do it on our own, is echoed in Paul's letter to the Ephesians for today as well. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not the result of works, so that no one may boast. This is the very core of our Lutheran faith. We do not have any control over our own salvation. We don't deserve it. We mess up all the time. We cannot do anything to earn it or God's love. We cannot do anything to save ourselves. We must rely on God's grace, which is a free gift. We are not in control of everything. And personally, I thank God for that. We are reminded of the fact that we are not in control when we remember the act of Jesus dying on the cross. As I mentioned before, you'll notice that in our gospel reading for today, Jesus compared himself being lifted up on the cross to the bronze serpent being lifted up in the desert. Not as a sacrifice or an image or an idol of death to be worshiped, but as a reminder and a statement of hope that God is still in control. And so that's what we are called to remember and think about when we look at the cross and why we wear crosses and put them up in our churches to remind us of the hope we have and the grace we receive through Jesus Christ. Jesus knew from the very start of his ministry that he would have to die in order to prove to the world that God's love, power, and grace were not something we have any control over, just as Jesus' death is something we have no control over, just as our death is something we have no control over. The world is full of brokenness, heartache, hatred, and despair, and there's only so much control we have over that. If human beings were in complete control over everything, in other words, if God created the world and walked away, so to speak, I believe we would have destroyed ourselves and the world long ago. God gave us this world, this earth, this beloved creation to take care of, and look what we've done with it. According to current statistics, by the year 2050, that's 26 years from now, entire islands and civilizations will be completely destroyed. Hundreds of thousands of people left homeless due to rising sea levels unless we take the matter of climate change and global warming more seriously. and take action to be better stewards of this world in which God gave us. Now, we can't control everybody's behavior. We can't control the mess that we're in, but we can control our decisions, our voices, the ways in which we use our voices to make a difference. I confess that at times I, like the Israelites, in my brokenness, struggle to trust and believe that God is in control. There are times when I too wonder whether God even cares anymore. But I cling to the hope promised in our scripture today, that God so loved and still loves the world, that God gave their only Son, that whoever believes in God may not perish but have eternal life. And then I pray honestly and openly, like the 17th century nun, to help me give up control, to see the bigger picture, and to look at the problems we're facing from a new and different perspective, being open and willing to work with other people, because it's only together that we can make a change and a difference. So today we pray with that 17th century nun, give me the ability to see good things in unexpected places and talents in unexpected people, and give me, O Lord, the grace to tell them so. Amen.